You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Pittsburgh Steelers fans, welcome back to another episode of Steelers Stat Geek. This is Behind the Steel Curtain editor Dave Schofield coming at you once again on a Thursday morning. It's what we do. This is your morning podcast here at Behind the Steel Curtain. It's Thursday. You're going to get some geeky numbers. I don't know if they're that geeky this week. You know, some people think all numbers are geeky and others don't. I had a slightly different introduction there. I don't know if you caught it or not. I call myself Behind the Steel Curtain editor Dave Schofield. Previously, I've been calling myself the co-editor. I went from before being deputy editor to being editor to being co-editor. Now I'm saying editor again, and I know some people, now that I've brought it up, they're like, what's going on? What happened to Jeff? Oh, no. For those of you that are here putting up with me on Thursday simply because it's your day off between Let's Rides, I understand how it goes. I'm part of the Ride or Die crew as well. No, that doesn't mean anything. Don't worry. Jeff Hartman's not going anywhere. Yes, we did lose Jeff for a couple months about a year ago, because it was a year ago at this time that I was acting as just the editor all by my lonesome as the editor, at Behind the Steel Curtain. That's when, Michael Beck moved up to be the deputy editor. And since we were able to get Jeff back on board last year, just the responsibilities and everything changed. Michael Beck took over our social media, does a fantastic job with that, you know, as well as writing articles for the website daily, pretty much. And he's the deputy editor. Well, when Jeff came back, he's like, well, let's do this job together. Let's, you know, we'll be co-editors. I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, sure. Cause I had just been the one doing the job, but after a lot of time and after, you know, checking to make sure that it's okay that we, you know, rearrange our titles and things like that, Jeff is getting the notoriety that he deserves. And that is Behind the Steel Curtain. The reason I made sure that we got Jeff back on board is because he brings so much to help make Behind the Steel Curtain the place that it is, both with the podcast, the editorial side, everything. Jeff Hartman is now the senior editor of Behind the Steel Curtain. He is the senior editor. I am the editor. Michael Beck is the deputy editor. It's really more in line with how things go. I would make decisions with things as we would go, but if I had the opportunity, I'm like, so Jeff, what do you think? So it's kind of how it goes. And Jeff has so much experience with it. And I kept really wanting to say, Jeff, it's not that you and I are in this complete, you know, as complete equals. You have so much more experience and we need to recognize that. So we are finally, Jeff's finally letting me do it. We are finally recognizing Jeff for his experience, and he is now the senior editor, even though I'm older than he is. But yeah, so that's his title. So congratulations, Jeff. Nothing changes. Nothing changes on your end with the way that we do stuff. You're just going to hear different names and everything for people. It's just Jeff and I. All I did was I dropped the co because I don't have anyone else now on the same level as me. Jeff is he's that next guy. He is where he should be all along. And I really want to thank him for making sure that he does that. And Jeff, when he came back, he didn't want to step on my toes as me being the editor while he was gone, because I'm the one who worked hard to get him back. He didn't want to feel like he was taking over, and he didn't. We're doing things the way they need to be done. But that's enough talk about that. Some of you, that might be a big deal. Some of you, you're like, come on, Dave, get to the numbers. All right, I'm going to get to the numbers. Tonight, we're talking about age. And age is just a number. Or is it? We will see. And this came as a question from one of our, one of our regular question askers, I guess is the way I'll say it. I don't know if question askers is the best way to do this. But this comes from Brian Haynes, also known as Captain Underpants in the live chats on our YouTube and Facebook shows. And he said he was trying to think of a good question for me to say. He's like, how does the age of a team, average age of the players, not the actual age of the team, you know, meaning that, you know, the Steelers have been around since 1933. That's what we're talking about. The age of the players on the team affect the performance. He says that he now knows that we're one of the younger teams. We'll see if he's right about that or not. And he wants to know if it's a cause for concern. I will let you all know that when you all send me a question, I'm always looking for questions. You can hit me up on Twitter or send me an email. It's Twitter is STLR Superfan Dad. For the email, you just add @gmail.com and you got me. I might not respond right away because I might be doing the research first to let you know what's going to happen. Like Brian sent me this question and I didn't get back to him right away until I could say, hey, I researched it and it's going to be on the show this week. So if you don't hear from me right away, it might be that I'm trying to figure it out. If you want to know if I actually got it when you send it to me, just send me a follow-up, and then I could always let you know, like, oh, yeah, I got it. I'm working on it. So Brian says he really likes to hear when his questions are answered. So let's see if he likes this one or not. There was, my goodness, so many different things and so many different places I could look. I just went back and started looking at, first, just the Pittsburgh Steelers in general, not comparing with the rest of the NFL and everything else. Because when I do that, I've got another slightly different metric that you might be impressed with. But I just went back and I looked at the average age of the team based on what Pro Football Reference had listed for that year. I went back. I went to go. I was going to stop at 2005 because I was out of space on the bottom of my paper. And I'm like, well, I better at least go back and grab Ben Roethlisberger's rookie year. But I looked further back, but I didn't write them all down. But last year for the Pittsburgh Steelers, they made the playoffs. Their average age, according to Pro Football Reference, was 26.3. 2019, when they did not make the playoffs, the average age was 25.9. That was the lowest in any of the numbers that I'm going to go through going back through the Ben Roethlisberger era. Actually, it was the first time that the Steelers' average age was under 26 since Chuck Knoll's last year coaching in 1991. From that point on, it was all 26 and above. So just so you know. But it was 25.9 in 2019. The fact that it wasn't Ben Roethlisberger, part of that reason. See, because when you think of it in salary cap and everything, when you have an old quarterback that generally takes up so much of the salary cap space, you're going to have young players other places. So then when that old quarterback gets injured and doesn't play, you take him out of the mix, you add a young quarterback in with a bunch of young players, it does bring it down a little bit. So that was 2019. 2018, it was 26.2. 2017, when the Steelers made the postseason, they were 26.5, which was the highest out of the last 4 years. 2016, it was 26.4. They made the postseason. 2015 is 26.7. Steelers made the postseason. It was the exact same thing in 2014. It was also 26.7, and they made the postseason. And it was 26.7 in 2013. Three straight years of 26.7. But in 2013, the Steelers did not make the playoffs. But as they went on, they did in 2014 and 2015. Then it was 26.4 in 2012 with no postseason. Then you get to 2011, it was 27.2. They made the postseason that year. The year before, when they went all the way to the Super Bowl, it was 27.5. Out of all the years I went back and looked at, that was tied for the oldest. And that was the year they went to the Super Bowl. Okay, 2009, it was 27.4, barely lower. 2008, when they won the Super Bowl, it was 27.2. 2007, when they made the postseason, 27.0. 2006 was a year they missed the playoffs, but it was 27.3. 2005, when the Steelers won the Super Bowl, it was 27.5. And in 2004, Ben Roethlisberger rookie year, it was 27.4, which was much higher from the year before, which was 26.9 before Ben Roethlisberger got there, just so you know. It was in the 26 range for several years there leading up to the 2004 when it made a jump, when the Steelers got older at other positions and younger quarterback. It's kind of interesting. I don't know exactly. I researched exactly what Pro Football Reference does, if they look at just starters, if they look at the whole roster, exactly how they break it down. I'm not sure, but that's just what they went with. But I found some other numbers, and I'm not going to go back nearly as far. I just wanted to go ahead and recap those. These aren't going to go back nearly as far, but I found another metric, and this comes from Football Outsiders. All right. Once again, they didn't describe what they did here very clearly, but I'm going to tell you what I'm pretty sure they did. And it's pretty neat. They have an analysis they do that's called snap weighted age. So what they do is they take a player's age and they weight it based on the number of snaps they play. To me, simply what they would do is taking the player's age, multiplying it by the percentage of snaps they played on offense or defense or whatever, and then add all those up to average them. Of course, if someone played zero snaps, they just don't even factor. So, for example, in 2020, when Ben Roethlisberger played the majority of the snaps at quarterback for the Steelers, it would weigh a lot more. In 2019, when he only played six quarters total, you know, a game and a half, it would be a lot less because based on the percentage of snaps he played. That was really, really interesting. And it's really interesting to see how these teams weighed out. Now, I hope I don't get this backwards because I'm going to try to switch them a little bit. They ranked them as number one being the oldest and number 32 being the youngest. I'll probably stick with that, but I was kind of looking at, you know, was it the younger teams? All right. The Pittsburgh Steelers for 2020, when it came to the total snap weighted by or snap weighted age, I'm going to mess that up. They were tied for fifth highest at 26.9. They were tied with New England, Atlanta, and Tampa Bay as fifth highest in the league. New Orleans, they were the highest at 27.3. It went New Orleans 27.3, Chicago 27.1, Tennessee and Arizona both 27.0, and then it was that group that included the Steelers at 26.9. So they have them ranked. They had them ranked in the middle of that. I don't think they did it by alphabetical order to break the tie or whatever, because they broke it down even more. They have, just for offense, just for defense, and then they had special teams using the special team snaps that players played. Generally, your special teams is younger. For example, like the Steelers, their average age on special teams was 25.8, and that was 19th, where, you know, one is the oldest. Having young special teamers, not a bad idea. Guys can get up and down the field. The Steelers, they were, as I said, they were tied for fifth, but really they had them ranked overall when they included everything as seventh in the NFL. That was also their rank when it came to offense. Their average age for offense was 27.4, which is going to be really interesting whenever I break this down even a little bit more by position. For defense, it was 26.7, where they were ranked ninth. They were the ninth oldest team. So what really brought the Steelers down when it came to the age and experience factor was the special teams, that they give their young guys a high percentage of special team snaps. And I don't think that that's a bad thing. So that was 2020. And as you can see, what about the teams that finished well? Like the Steelers were tied with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who were towards the top of the list. They were eighth. What it might be is, even though they were all 26.9, it might have been that they broke it down by further decimal points in order to actually rank these teams. Kansas City, on the other hand, I'm still trying to actually find them on the list. They were middle of the road. They were 17th at 26.4. That's what they were. And now we'll move on to 2019 here in just a minute. But I wanted to break down 2020 a little bit more. They looked at teams that had like the biggest changes. Like New England had a big change down because they were by far the oldest team the year before. Tampa Bay had a big swing up because of the veterans they brought in along with, you know, Tom Brady. So they had some interesting swings, but they broke this down. They broke this down by position. And it was really interesting because looking at it by position, the Steelers were third oldest at quarterback at 37.0 was the average. Because, you know, you had to factor in Mason Rudolph and even the few snaps of Joshua Dobbs. 37.0, they were third. They were only behind Tampa Bay, which was 42.5, and Indy, which was 38.5. So they were the third oldest at the quarterback position. But notice, you know, the team that was the oldest there was the team that won the Super Bowl. But when you go to running back, the Steelers were the third youngest, only behind Indy and KC. And when you go to wide receiver, they were the youngest in the NFL in 2020. The youngest. So it all depends on what position you're looking at. Tight end, the Steelers, I'm ultimately trying to find them right now when I look at it that way. They were past the middle half. They were, but then again, remember, you had Vance McDonald, who's since retired. Eric Ebron's getting up there. That's probably going to be different this year. And then to round out the offense, if you look at the offensive line, the Steelers had the fourth oldest offensive line. That could be a problem. And that might be, that looks to change in 2021. 2021 should look to be different. But if you also want to look at that, Kansas City had the second oldest offensive line. So, which you say, well, they got him to the Super Bowl. But if you watch the Super Bowl, it was their offensive line that was really letting them down at the end. And when it comes to Tampa, they were, I got to actually count this, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. They were the eighth youngest offensive line. So with the offensive line, you know, an average age across the NFL of 26.9, the Steelers were at 28.1. So that, you know, offensive lines where they were older. And I think you'll see a youth movement there. You're going to have that this year. So then to look at the defense, the Steelers have they have the third oldest defensive line in the NFL. It's them tied with Baltimore. But they had Baltimore just ahead when you really take out the decimal places longer. And the oldest defensive line was the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So age of the defensive line, not looking to be a terrible issue when you look at those other teams and their success. When you look at linebacker, the Steelers, they're towards the top. Actually, not towards the top. They're almost middle of the road when it comes to linebacker. They are 26.0, and I'm pretty sure that's the league average. Yep, they are right in the middle. And then when it comes to defensive back, the Steelers are younger, but not the youngest. They were 25.8, but they're about 12th in the NFL, which I thought was pretty interesting. So that's more of a breakdown by position. And when I told you that the Steelers were one of the younger special teams units, there are plenty of other teams that have younger special teams units, like Tampa Bay was slightly younger than the Steelers. Kansas City was much more younger than the Steelers when it came to their special teams. So that's 2020. What we're going to do now is we're going to go ahead and we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to not look at it by position, but we'll look at 2019, 2018, even 2017, where the Steelers were with that snap-weighted age, and then see where the Steelers stand right now and what kind of conclusions we can draw. So stick around. We'll be back after this short break to do that. And I have another fun number to throw out to you then. So we'll be right back. When my phone rang, she found someone new. It's no surprise how life could be.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
We are back with Steeler Stat Geek and editor Dave Schofield here to just continue to break down these numbers of age. Age in the NFL, how does it factor in with these kind of things? I just ran over this great stat of the snap-weighted age. I did that for 2020. Now we're going to look at 2019. No, so if you let's remember the Steelers number from 2018. The Steelers number, not 2018, from 2020. From 2020, they're 26.9 when you did it by the weighted by the snaps was 26.9. The year before in 2019, much lower. I still say that's part of the Ben Roethlisberger factor. They were 26.4. Now I told you when you were just looking at the overall age that this was the youngest average age on Pro Football Reference for the Steelers since 1991 was the case in 2019. When it comes to the NFL, they were 16th. They are middle of the pack. So even though it was young for the Steelers, now granted, this is taking into account the weighting it by the snaps, they were middle of the road. Okay. They were actually a little bit older on offense. They were 27.0, which was 11th. And on defense, they were younger of 26.1, which was 19. And they were also middle of the road of 16th for special teams, which is 25.9. But if you want to look at it, that year you were looking at the Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs, who that year, they were 21st when it came to age. Which is overall, which is actually one of the lower ones that you'll see when it comes to the team that won the Super Bowl. And you'll see that as we move on to the next one, that was very interesting that was one of the younger teams to win the Super Bowl compare ranking wise in recent years. So that's where the Steelers were in 2019. If you go back to 2018, so you went 26.9 in 2020, then you had, as I say that, I have 26.4 in 2019. 2018 was a little bit different. They were back up to 26.9. That was seventh in the NFL. It was basically tied with Washington, who they said was sixth. And they were sixth in offense of 27.9, 18th in defense is 26.2, and 10th in special teams is 26.1. So they had older special teams in 2018. But what's interesting is the number one team, ranked as the oldest team, was also the Super Bowl champion. They were ranked number one in age. They were the oldest average age with weighted with snaps in the NFL. And the Los Angeles Rams, who they played in the Super Bowl, were 11th. So that's where they fell there. If you go back to 2017, the Steelers, they took another dip down. They were 26.5. They were 14th in the NFL is where they sat. They were 27.4 on offense, which was the seventh oldest, and 25.7 on defense, which was the 23rd oldest. They were down there on defense is what really brought them down. And their special teams were 14th, just as their regular average. Now, the Super Bowl champion that year was Philadelphia, who they were seventh overall, and New England was fifth. So there you go. If you want to have a better idea, I'll go back with the Super Bowl champs a few more years because that might be more of what you're looking for. 2016, it was New England. They were 10th. They were the 10th oldest. 2015 was Denver. They were 7th. 2014 was New England. They were 10th again. 2013, there's your outlier. Seattle was 30th. They were young. They were under 26 when it was weighted for snaps, and they won the Super Bowl over the ninth highest Denver Broncos. You know, and a lot of people thought Denver was going to win that game. In 2012, that disgusting purple team, they were sixth. 2011, the Giants, they were 10th. In 2010, we'll go back to there. Well, now, you know, we'll go a little bit further because we can. The 2010, Green Bay was 22nd while Pittsburgh was third. The Steelers were the third oldest team. And that's part of the reason why they got there. They were the third oldest team, but they didn't win it. The year before that, New Orleans was 9th. They beat Indy, who was 28th. And in 2008, when the Steelers last day won the Super Bowl, they were the 12th oldest team in the league. They were 12th. So I don't have data that goes back to 2005. It only goes back to 2006. So that's why I stopped there. So that's interesting that the Steelers, where they fall, and that, yes, you don't want your – it's very rare that the oldest team wins the Super Bowl. I mean, New England did it a couple years ago. But the reason I say that that's rare is you don't want to be – it's that sweet spot. You don't want to be too old, but yet you don't want to be inexperienced and things like that. So that's the ultimate question going into it. So I know what the question is now. Well, Dave, what does that mean for 2021? Absolutely. Here's how it goes. I have a list based on 90-man rosters. Okay, so this is going to change. But we don't know the Steelers roster yet. And of course, we don't have their snaps that they're playing this year in order to do the snap-weighted age. So the best I can do is tell you the average age of the 90-man roster. And right now for the Pittsburgh Steelers, their average age of their 90-man roster is 25.44. Now you got to remember, a lot of guys that aren't going to make that team are the younger guys. Guys that are trying to crack their way into the NFL and catch on with the team, things like that. There's the occasional older guy that just is going to get cut because they don't have it anymore. But generally, the average ages get dropped down during training camp because of so many young players there. Now, if you want to know where this is, the Steelers were ranked 20th. Oppositely, they're the 20th youngest team right now. So that puts them, so I was just making sure I had my numbers right. Sorry if I paused for a moment there. That puts them 11th if you were looking from the oldest team. Believe it or not, right now the oldest team is the Houston Texans. That the Houston Texans have the oldest age based on everything. It goes Houston, San Francisco, Arizona, New England, Tampa, Baltimore, Buffalo, Tennessee, Chicago, New York Giants, and then the Steelers, who have the same, to two decimal places, the same average age as both the Washington Football Team and the Detroit Lions. So that's where they sit right now. But that's going to change. But that's the best we can do based on the data right now. So the number might look younger for the Steelers, but the fact that they're 11th still has them, you know, in the top half. I think that's where you want to be. They're getting right about to where that is. But really, it comes down to playing on the field. It really does come down to that. So I have one more thing I was going to dive into since I have a little bit of time to finish off the show. And that was, I was talking with senior editor Jeff Hartman and say, hey, you know, I always like to do two different topics. I know this topic that I have this week is going to take a little bit longer to run through the numbers, but I always like to have another one, even if it's just small, to finish out the show. I said, what should I look at? Do you have a question? And then he throws me one. I'm like, that's too good. I got to save it for its own show. And then he throws another one. Or actually, I thought of something. I said, no, that's too good too. Got to save that for its own show, or do them both in one show. Finally got one. And this is so Jeff Hartman inspired. If you listen to any of our shows, you're going to know why. I decided I was going to go back and look at punters drafted by the Steelers and how they punted their first year. Sure. Just to get the information. It doesn't mean that Presley Harvin III or the second, I can't remember. I'm pretty sure it's the third. Presley Harvin. We'll just leave it there. Whether it's Big Six or Thick Kick or whatever people wanted to call him, I'm not calling him Brian Anthony Davis' nickname because it just doesn't fit. So, well, it doesn't mean that he's going to be locked into anything going on here, but I just thought I'd break this down. The first thing of note that's nice, well, I searched in all the Steelers draft, and I only came up with previously to Harvin, four punters that the Steelers had drafted. Now, with the first one being Craig Colquitt in 1978, it's important to note that what it might have happened with that, I'm not saying the Steelers never drafted a punter before that, is it might have been that either A, they just didn't have the player's position listed, which I'll tell you this, Pro Football Reference, for some reason, doesn't have Benny Snell listed as a running back. You do a filter for running backs, he's not going to show up. They just have him listed as a football player. They don't have his position in there. At least that was the case a couple weeks ago, and since unless they fixed it. It could be that that was the case. Or the bigger possibility as you go back in Steelers history is that the player that punted also did other things. There was just something else that was thrown on because that you didn't always have just strictly a punter. But so we're going back. I'm confident that this goes back through the merger, so I'll just at least say that. Kicking it in 1978, you had Craig Colquitt. He punted in all 16 games. He had 66 punts. He averaged 40.0 yards per punt. And on his career, he averaged 41.3. So below the career average the first year, not surprising. The next punter, oh, and he was a third round draft pick, by the way. Got to throw that in there. The next punter drafted by the Steelers was in 1982. It was John Goodson. He punted 9 games. And you're like, oh, why only 9? Remember, what year I say he was drafted? 1982. That was the strike year. He punted in every game, but that was the strike year. And this is regular season stats. I didn't throw in playoff stats. He punted 49 times. He had a 40.4 yard average, which was also his career average because that was the only year he ever played in the NFL. That's an interesting story. I'd like to look into more, but I didn't find anything else about that. One drafted by the Steelers, punted 1 year. That was it. The next time they drafted a punter was 1985, was in the 8th round. Also like Goodson, who was in the 8th round, was Harry Newsom. He punted all 16 games his rookie year. He had 78 punts. His average was 39.6. So it was under a 40-yard average, but his career was 42.5. And last but not least was the 4th-round draft pick of 2007, Daniel Sepulveda, which I do have to say the Steelers even traded up to draft him. He punted in all 16 games. He had 68 punts. He had an average of 42.4 his rookie year, and his career average was 43.7. So the biggest thing about that when I ran all those numbers that jumped out to me wasn't about the average in the career and all that. It was that every punter that the Steelers have drafted since Craig Colquitt that actually shows up as just a punter, they were the punter their rookie year. They punted every game. So although we talk about is it a training camp battle or everything, it would take a lot, I think, for Presley Harvin to not win this job because if you're going to spend the draft capital on a punter, he's your punter. So that's some little fun punt numbers there at the end. So thanks again for joining me. Make sure you are checking out all of our podcasts, not just the one-part morning shows. We've got some good two-part shows that have happened recently. One of the writers from BehindTheSteelCurtain.com, Shannon White, joined Tony and Brian on the Hangover Monday. That was a lot of fun listening to them. It was pretty good. And then we had an extra special Father's Day podcast with myself and Big Bro Sco on the Sco Bro Show, where we had Sam Highsmith, Alex Highsmith's dad. He came on for the full hour plus, and we just talked, you know, being a dad, being a Steelers dad. It was such a blast being on that show. If you haven't heard it, make sure you go back to listen to that. And I hope you enjoyed it as much as we did doing the show. And then I know that Wednesday night, there was someone from the University of Miami talking about Quincy Roche on the curtain call. So lots of good stuff. That one will come out on the audio side a little bit later today. So make sure you're checking out all our stuff, checking out the podcast. We might have a couple special short Father's Day ones coming out here soon. I know that was a plan that our podcast producer, Brian Anthony Davis, was coming up with. So make sure that you're just checking out all the podcasts and that you're going to BehindTheSteelCurtain.com, your one-stop shop for all things Pittsburgh Steelers. This is Behind the Steel Curtain editor Dave Schofield saying thanks for joining me. And as I always say,